The Eason Book Club on The Pat Kenny Show, sharing book recommendations with book lovers every month.
And for this month's Eason Book Club, we chose Conversations with Friends by Sally Rooney. What did our panel think of the book? Well, they're in studio with me, Brian Kennedy, Mary O'Rourke and Catherine Lynch. Good morning, all.
Good morning.
Now, Brian, maybe we'll start with you and give us a synopsis.
Do we have to start with me?
You didn't like the book?
I really didn't like this book. I mean, I just thought it was just the dullest thing I'd read for ages. The characters were dull. She clearly is not a big fan of men, you know, given her dad's character, her married lover's character. I just thought it was dull. I really wanted to love it. I liked Bobby, the character of Bobby, I must say, having said that, her kind of on-off girlfriend.
I'll come back to you then on the
I'm going for a lie down. I'll see you all later.
And Catherine, we'll ask you to tell us something of the narrative.
I absolutely loved it. It's
it's
called Conversations with Friends, and it's about Francis, Bobby, Nick and Melissa, and they're four characters, and they just are constantly asking each other things about life. They all intertwine. Francis and Bobby are lovers from college, two girls, and they get involved with an older married couple who are not really in love. It's all kind of a marriage of...
He's an actor.
He's a handsome actor.
And she's a writer. And everybody's so self-obsessed in it, which is great because it's this modern 21st century narcissistic values. I just loved it. I loved the observation.
And this is set in what? Post-Celtic Tiger?
Post-Celtic Tiger. Yes. It's probably... they're talking about a... You know, it starts off and they're listening to 80s classics on the radio, you know what I mean, in the car. So we know it's now. You know, it's now.
It's right now.
Three years ago, it's two years ago.
Trinity College students.
Yeah.
Where the two young are, Frances and Bobby, two female students in love with one another in a sort of a lesbian way. Now, Frances is the centre of the whole thing. She's sort of really the main character. She falls then for a guy called Nick, who's married to Melissa. And Nick is needy morning, noon and night.
I love it.
He'll take everything she's ready to give him and more besides, and he won't do anything about anything.
Well, he's not really interested in long-term stuff.
No, he's not. No. He goes back to Melissa. She begins again with Bobby. And so life goes on. I loved it. I loved the conversations they were having. That's just all about that, isn't it?
Yeah, conversations with friends.
Friends
is the title.
Yeah.
But they analyse one another morning, noon and night. They look into their innards and they look into their outards and they talk about one another and they write about one another. They were very diligent students.
Yeah, I did. Although they're way over-educated.
You know the way the characterization, the stereotype of men is that they go to the pub. This may not be you, Brian, but the idea is they don't talk to each other about their inner feelings at all. They watch the football and wonder whether Sanchez will be transferred by Wenger or not.
Sanchez not a Mexican dish? No.
but the idea is that they don't really communicate, whereas women, you know, I've often said that, you know, watching bunches of fellas and bunches of teenage girls on Killiney Beach.
Right.
And this is years ago, and I'm walking the dogs and I see the girls and they're all talking to each other. And
big talk. Yes.
And the lads, they're picking up rocks and throwing them at the next target
testing
the
testosterone.
So is this therefore, if you'll pardon me use the phrase, a girly book?
Well, we were discussing this outside we all universally hate the phrase chick lit. Of course we do. It's nonsense. I have to tell you that certainly the gay men that I know, and being a gay man myself, I would talk to my girlfriends very openly and very, you know, like the girls would speak to each other. So maybe that's the difference often between straight men and gay men too. But at the same time, I just thought that the journey we went on with Francis for me was just dull. I found it annoying.
Well, I agree. It is probably a woman's book, and they say it's a feminist book, but I don't get that.
I wouldn't get that.
How is a feminist nicking somebody else's husband?
But actually, this is in the blurb. If you're buying this book on Amazon, it tells you that, which it's not. But there is a part of the new female writer that is completely self-obsessed. It's all about them.
Yeah.
It's all about the angst. It's like we've got, like even Stephanie Preisner here. We've got, you know, can't cope, won't cope.
Right.
It's very much. I find it really interesting.
Well, I find it very interesting. Too.
So maybe it is for women.
Leave it down. I stayed up late one night. When I woke up in the morning, I said, I'm going to get up and read the book.
Yeah.
I actually said that.
So you were greatly taken by it.
I was greatly taken by it.
I couldn't let it.
I was gravely taken by it.
All of the details of her life. she cuts herself. When she's feeling
very low. You just, the part of me just wants to go, stop looking for attention all day long.
Could you not put it down?
If it was a dog, I would put it down.
Who's it? Who's it said, this is not a book to be put down lightly, but one to be flung forcefully across the room?
That's correct.
No.
That's your view. But just annoyed you, is that it?
It just annoyed me. The characters annoyed me. Bobby was my favourite character, but the male characters in particular, I just wanted to slap. Wake up, lads. Her dad and her lover.
Wore a dark grey coat with tortoiseshell buttons on it.
I know.
My dear.
Exactly.
Whitnail and
Who
I
cares?
Rolled into the one character.
Yeah. Now, one of the reviews I read about the book was talking about how it is about conversations, what people say to each other. It's about what they text to each other. It's all that sort of thing. Social media being involved. That Sally Rooney wouldn't be great on kind of descriptions. You're not going to get the forest was looming over her as the...
No, you won't get any nature
kind of
things.
I thought the writing was great. Writing was far from checkered.
Now, she had a terrible thing going on in her life, health-wise, a female thing in her uterus. And
say
she,
the word, Mary.
She went, I'm afraid to say that I won't say it right.
You will say it right. We're behind you, Mary.
Endometriitis.
Nearly.
Yes, endometriitis. Anyway, she was very bad with it, and we all got that. We played out with that with her because it was a kind of a serious thing.
Oh,
but the book ends hopefully. She's in Stephen's Green on a winter's night. She's getting wet, and the gates are closing. Yeah. Nick rings her. She says, come and get me.
Yeah.
And he rings by mistake. He thinks he's ringing his wife about vegetables.
About the melon.
It's all
the
accidental.
Peppers. Yeah.
Red or
they're not very morally kind of
The
cute.
Review in The Guardian.
What did it say?
It said, though herself young, this is about the author Sally Rooney, she was born in 1991, she's already been shortlisted for this year's Sunday Times EFG Short Story Award. Her hyper-articulate characters may fail to communicate their fragile selves, but Rooney does it for them in a voice distinctively her own.
High praise.
Yeah, and I think she is praise, there's a couple of voices of this generation. We're lucky enough to have Stephanie Preisner, so let's hope what she...
Stick on the headphones and we'll talk to a book clubber. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Pat.
Your book club has a name.
Yeah, we're Eyes and Ears.
And how long are you on the go, and are you male or female in general?
So we've been on the go about 6 or 7 months, and we have a mix of male and female.
All right. Mostly men, mostly women?
It's kind of split down the middle. It started off as a very a couples thing, and then it's included more and more of our friends.
All right. So you're a relatively young book club because you've been only on the go for a few months. What did you all think of this book?
I think it very much split us down, unfortunately, by gender lines. A lot of our female readers, they loved it. A lot of our male readers failed to... connect with some of the characters.
Yeah.
What did you think of it yourself?
I thought it was very, very shallow in terms of story, but very deep in terms of character development. Mm. So, in broad strokes,
that's a fair thing to say.
Not much happens, but you really do get to know the characters incredibly well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's good.
I mean, nothing much happening generally tells us something about a book, that it is more about the character development rather than the narrative. And if you think of, say, one we talked about before, Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine, which we all loved.
Yeah.
There is a narrative there. There's an exposition, really, of it.
Yeah,
we were talking about Kate Tempest as well, The Bricks That Built Babylon. Incredible writing from a young woman.
Yeah, and it's a similar story where there's a lot of gender fluidity. But Kate had a lot more going on, I have to
absolutely.
Say.
And tell me, Jeff, how often do you meet?
Mary.
Mary O'Rourke is my name.
Once a month. On the last Sunday of the month.
Sunday.
And is it over tea and biscuits or over something stronger?
Sometimes they're occasionally moved to Saturdays, and it ends up being over something stronger.
I'd prefer the Saturdays, I'll be there.
So what have you read so far?
So we have a very mixed bag. We pick the book it started off with the oldest person first, and then we've been moving down the ages since then. So we have things like serious novels like The Bell Jar.
Oh, fabulous.
Mm-hmm. We
Virginia
have
Woolf, isn't it? Sylvia Plath. Same thing.
Then we go for sci-fi like Ready Player One, and then we go for comedies like Catch 22, Alan Partridge one, Knowing Me, Knowing You. It's a very much,
it's very eclectic. It's interesting. Jeff, that when I was growing up, everyone had a copy of Catch 22 on their bookshelf, or Catcher in the Rye. They were the
Catcher
two.
Catcher in the Rye reminded me of this book.
So, a lot of younger people, and I suspect you are one of the younger members of the book club, just are not familiar with these things that once upon a time were classics.
That's right,
contemporary classics.
And
Jeff.
Have we stunned you, Jeff? To compare, say, a classic book like Catch 22, and then the month later we're reading a relatively new book, Ready Player One. The difference in styles, and then even the writing, and the themes it brings up is totally different.
Yeah, but isn't that the big surprise of books all the time?
Isn't it?
They change and the writing changes and engages your mind in another way. And I think that's really brilliant.
Well, Jeff, I don't know what you're reading next. Have you chosen one for your next book club?
No, it's always a surprise on the Sunday we all meet.
All right. Well, we have a few suggestions coming up in a moment, because I think it's Catherine's turn this week, isn't it?
Go on, Catherine.
I'll read out the descriptions. But some of the comments coming in. Sinead in Galway says, I'm with Brian on this one. Didn't like the book at all. The four main characters are totally unlikable.
Yeah.
Nick is pathetic. Don't understand what the hype is all about. Angie says, after listening to Brian's review, I suspect it's unpickupable. But you but loved it.
I loved it. And the hype is, she's talking about, is that seven publishing companies
We're bidding for this
book.
Yeah,
but Shut Up Your Face was number one for 7 weeks. What's your point?
I love it.
All right. Now, it's time to see what Eason are recommending for our August book club. And Catherine, it is your turn. And you can take the weekend to mull over the books, and we'll reveal all on Monday the 24th. So the first one is Tin Man by Sarah Winman. Ellis and Michael are 12 when they first become friends, and for a long time it's just the two of them, cycling the streets of Oxford, teaching themselves how to swim, discovering poetry, and dodging the fists of overbearing fathers. And then, one day, this closest of friendships grows into something more. But then we fast forward a decade or so to find that Ellis is married to Annie and Michael is nowhere in sight. So it leads to the question, what happened in the years in between?
That sounds like a good scenario.
The next one is Safe by Ryan Gatiss. It's set in LA against the backdrop of the 2008 financial crash. This is the story of Rudy Reyes, a.k.a. Glasses. He's a gangster turned double agent who wants out of the high-risk criminal life, and a character called Ricky Mendoza Jr., a.k.a. Ghost, a DEA safecracker with terminal cancer. Now, when Ghost goes rogue and steals thousands of dollars from a safe that belongs to Rooster, an LA crime lord who happens to be Glass's boss, he endangers a deal Glass has had with a DEA official. All very complicated. As Ghost sets out to steal as much money as he can get his hands on, all with the plan to give it to those hit hardest by the crash, and Rooster gets ever closer to catching him, Glass tries desperately to keep his plans on track. I always find these nicknames hard to follow. Yeah. Now this one, I Found My Tribe by Ruth Fitzmaurice.
Oh, yes.
Ruth's tribe are her lively children and her filmmaker husband Simon, who has motor neuron disease.
I've read about this,
He can only communicate with his eyes. And Ruth's other tribe are the friends who gather at the Cove in Greystones in County Wicklow and regularly throw themselves into the freezing cold water just for kicks. They call themselves the Tragic Wives Swimming Club. That's what they jokingly call themselves.
No, I love it.
It's a fascinating book, and it's called I Found My Tribe.
Oh, now, Mary, you mind your own business now. You've got to pick your one.
Well, wait for number four.
Listen to Pat.
Together by Julie Cohn. Now, this is also a fascinating one. On a morning that seems just like any other, Robbie wakes in his bed, his wife Emily asleep beside him. As always, he rises and dresses, makes his coffee, feeds his dogs, just as he usually does. But then he leaves Emily a letter and does something that will break her heart. As the years go back all the way to 1962, Robbie's actions become clearer as we discover the story of a couple with a terrible secret, one they will do absolutely anything to protect. So what do you think? Anyway, don't pick now.
No, I won't.
You have the
now.
Weekend, and you can decide which one we're all going to read for the month of August. So my thanks to Brian Kennedy,
Thank you.
Mary O'Rourke, and the bossy Mary O'Rourke, and Catherine Lynch. Thank you all.
The Eason Book Club on the Pat Kenny Show, sharing book recommendations with book lovers every month.